Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Keystone Kickoff Show here, as promised. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here. We're going to break down the interior offensive linemen, continue our spring storyline series. And, you know, I kind of joke that it doesn't get any more scintillating than this. But still, this is the, you know, these are some of the positions that quietly can make or break you. And yes, for Penn State, you know, they are replacing one guard here. You're assuming Michael Minnett is going to be your guy at center. You're losing Connor McGovern. The right side of the offensive line is a big question mark when it comes to an offense that has a bunch of other question marks as well. So, you know, you can laugh at it all you want, but looking at these three positions, both the guard spots and the center spot, and trying to figure out where the depth is, who's going to be the starter, what we're going to be watching for this spring, it's still an important part of this Penn State offense. And then we're going to, a little bit later in the week, look at offensive tackles. We've done all the other positions, offense, defense, so far. You can check those out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. So looking at the guards and centers, obviously the big storyline as you're following along with spring practice and listening to what James Franklin has to say, you're seeing video clips or what have you, replacing Connor McGovern, how much does it hurt to have lost him a year early to the NFL draft?
What was interesting is you'll find a lot of people, fans, just media, the other observers who are not as impressed by Connor McGovern as the NFL clearly is. So I think there's a lot of people that maybe have viewed his contribution to the Penn State football program. Not that anyone said that it was horrible or anything like that, but I think a lot of people would think it might just be okay. And it's clearly he has turned into a highly regarded NFL prospect that's almost certainly a day two guy at this point. So now we know why he left early as well. So yeah, replacing him, obviously, you know, a line is only as good as its weakest link, and that goes for any position group, but especially the offensive line, where if four guys do their job right but one guy whiffs, it doesn't matter what the other four did. And more and beyond that, the other four guys don't get any credit for winning. They're, you know, if right, four guys win their matchups and one guy whiffs and the quarterback gets sacked on third and two, there's upset. People are upset about the offensive line, not upset about the guy who whiffed. Or at least that, you know, there's not that nuanced look at it. Whereas, you know, if you drop a pass, someone's mad at the receiver, not the offense, or not the quarterback and the receiver, you know. So I think that, you know, in that light, Penn State's not obviously been able to. The offensive line's been good the last couple of years. But again, as we talked about with so many position groups and just the team in general, if you don't play your best football against the best teams on the schedule, you're going to be looked at as not maybe a weakness, but certainly as a unit that needs to improve. That offensive line's been that way for a couple of years now, where when it comes down to crunch time, they've struggled to move the other teams, you know, the best players on the other team. And sometimes, you know, we're talking mostly Ohio State and Michigan State and Michigan, but guess what? It's not as if they put Rutgers away last season. Right. So replacing him is clearly a challenge, but I think they really, really super like what they have in Mike Miranda.
Mike Miranda, and he's a good one, and really the kind of the opposite of how people view Connor McGovern. Like Connor McGovern, when he left for the NFL, the sentiment that I picked up on was, yeah, he looks the part, and yeah, he's got the body type, and I think he's a good enough athlete to do it, but he wasn't as effective as all that stuff suggested he should have been at Penn State. And, you know, maybe part of that is fair. But I think, you know, from a bigger picture perspective, you know, I think there are still some questions about whether Penn State is recruiting the right kind of elite offensive linemen, and if they're getting the most out of them. I think there's those questions are still fair, because there has not been a turn the corner and become dominant type of showing since James Franklin arrived until now. And this is all kind of part of that discussion. One thing that he mentioned in the spring, you know, as CJ Thorpe makes his way back to the offensive line,
right,
he still expressed a belief that CJ Thorpe can be an elite an elite offensive lineman someday. And really one of the things that's worth watching this spring is, when does that begin? You can't have a guy who is dominant as a run blocker but still has a long way to go as a pass blocker and lean on that player. So you mentioned Mike Miranda maybe is the favorite to start, and that's probably wise that he's a little bit more balanced offensive lineman right now.
So here's a question for you. Is CJ Holmes moving back to the offense from the defense say more about Penn State's developing depth at defensive tackle, or more concern about the depth at offensive tackle, or I'm sorry, offensive guard at this point? Because unfortunately, Drew Scruggs is not a part of that conversation this spring. Penn State lost Connor McGovern, obviously. And so I just wonder if Thorpe moves back more for number. He moves the defense for numbers over there. And I know James Franklin went on and on and on and raved and has continued to rave about how high they think CJ Thorpe's ceiling is as an offensive lineman. But I can't help but wonder if that move says as much about Penn State's depth as it does about Thorpe's potential as an offensive lineman. Because you're right. I believe it was last year when, correct me if I'm wrong here, but CJ Thorpe, it was he could run block, but his pass blocking needed work. Des Holmes was the opposite. He needed help with the run block, but he could pass block. And you just wonder, I know we're
can
talking
you put both of them out there at the same time?
Yeah, I mean,
can join them at the hip?
Right, absolutely. Why not? I know we're talking just interior guys, but you just wonder how far along that progress is coming. And I think that's why Matt Limegrover has taken some heat from fans this offseason. And I don't know how much of it is fair or how much of it is warranted, but at the end of the day, there's endlessly this talk about how the offensive line is going to it's almost exactly like the Penn State men's basketball team. Next year is the year they make the tournament, Dustin. And it's always next year the offensive line is going to be dominant and going to take over. And we've both probably received some feedback from listeners and readers and fans and people being like, hey, you guys have been talking about this offensive line getting ready to take the next step for 3 or 4 years now. When's it going to happen? And that's, I think, the question on a lot of people's minds at this point is, when is it going to happen? And is this the year for that to happen? If it's going to, they need Mike Miranda or whoever wins Connor McGovern's job to really step up. And then they need Michael Mennett and Steven Gonzalez to continue progressing. If one of those things doesn't happen, if all those things don't happen, Penn State will be in trouble in 2019.
Talk about Penn State's interior offensive line. Continue our spring storyline series on the Keystone Kickoff Show. To circle back to the whole CJ Thorpe flipping the defense, flipping back to offense, I am 100% convinced that this was all part of the plan. That I don't know that James Franklin was ever going to be comfortable last season putting CJ Thorpe in a position where he needed to play meaningful snaps at guard. Just because, and I think it probably goes back to, you can't be a liability in pass protection and play meaningful snaps at guard. So yeah. I think the move to defensive tackle was not part of the plan going into the season, but on the fly, I think the feeling was, we can put CJ Thorpe out there and just let him be himself. Like he needs to play 5, 6, 8 snaps to give our guys a breather. Let's just let him be the big physical bullying athlete that he is. And I think he can hold the line. I don't know how much they really invested in him and teach him technique, but I think the plan all along, I don't know this for a fact, but I think the plan all along was to bring him right back on the offense. And the reason is, he was not going to be trusted to play meaningful snaps on the offensive line. So why not get him game action on the defensive side of the ball with the idea that he can come back and that can make him better in the long run? It was either defensive tackle reps or nothing, maybe for CJ Thorpe last year. So they went with defensive tackle reps.
Is it not concerning, though, that he earned those reps against Ohio State over Damian Barber, over some other guys?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so that's the question I have now. Did those guys improve so much that they were on a level playing field? Because keep in mind, we don't know what Fred Hanser is going to be able to do this spring. We don't know what Ellison Jordan is going to be able to do this spring. And Damian Barber, as far as we know, was healthy and jumped by CJ Thorpe in a matter of a week. So, I mean, I think that there's a concern here that what happens if you get to summer practice And what if Hansard and Jordan, we expect them both to be able to participate in summer camp and this season, but what if one or both of them ends up not being ready to go? What if your other guys don't progress the way that you think they do? Maybe, we thought, Judge Culpepper might be ready to go. Maybe he's not. We thought PJ Mustipher might get an expanded role. Maybe he doesn't. If all these questions aren't answered, is it possible C.J. Thorpe could be moved back to defense by the time summer camp rolls around? I highly doubt it. But Penn State has a weird numbers game, both at defensive tackle and at offensive guard right now, that'll make watching his next few months pretty interesting. At some point, though, you cannot continue to, and James Franklin did say this last year, you can't continue to flip him, right? Unless you're in absolute dire straits where it's down to, like, you or me playing defensive tackle or C.J. Thorpe, then you can move him over. But other than
weight-wise, I'm getting there.
Me too, buddy.
I think maybe next spring is the spring I'm at 285, and I can be in that conversation.
Absolutely.
Dwight Gault would really have to tear down and rebuild, though. I will tell you that.
You talk about breaking down to build back up. That would be you and me in a nutshell. But, no, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that Thorpe is a guy that Penn State can rely on at along the offensive line. I just, again, I wonder greatly about what his move back says. Is it more about him and his future, or is it about the numbers at both positions?
I think it's not going to be that wishy-washy, and I think last year was just an exceptional circumstance where you had need arise, and I think Damian Barber was nowhere close to being ready. Obviously, the redshirt freshman, Aeneas Hawkins, Judge Culpepper, those guys weren't anywhere close to being ready. C.J. Thorpe was there physically, strength-wise, body-wise, was there and could be plugged in, was unique in that he could be plugged in right away, where some of these other guys were still kind of building their bodies up. I don't think he's flipping back. And the part of that has to do with maybe some of these other guys being ready, them having comfort there. I think this was the plan all along, too. And again, I don't know that for a fact. I think C.J. Thorpe, James Franklin really believes the words that he says, that he can be an elite offensive lineman. I don't think they're going to do the flip-flop again. I would be stunned if they are. I'll owe you a coffee if he's a defensive tackle again in 2019.
There you go.
You mentioned these two guys, but one of the big things is can Michael Mennett be a leader here? Can Michael Mennett be a star? Can he be a star center for Penn State moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, he looks good, doesn't he? I mean, if you look at the pictures of him to start spring practice, he looks like he's bulked up and is ready to go. I mean, I think he was healthy for most of, if not all, of last season, and that continued into this winter, and clearly he's been able to make some big strides because of that fact. So it's good news for him. It's good news for Penn State. I do think he'll be capable of taking another step forward this fall.
And then you mentioned Steven Gonzalez earlier, bulking up 6'4", 349. I think Ross Tucker, our colleague, believes that anything in this realm is too much weight. But Steven Gonzalez, big, powerful. Is he going to be an NFL draft guy in come next spring?
No. I mean, I don't know. At this point, you just wonder if that – he played at that weight 2 years ago, and I thought he was better last year when he was slimmed down a bit. I'm not Dwight Gault and the strength coaches, though, so maybe they have a plan for him. We just can't see.
No, you are not. That's an understatement right there. We're moving on. Penn State Wrestling, Brandon Pelzer is going to join us on the eve of the NCAA Championships coming up after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.